There must be something in the air this morning. This is the quietest I've ever heard you before we start for worship. That's okay. We're here for worship. So, grace and peace to all of you in the name of the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. To both our in-person and online gathered worshipers, we say, thanks for joining the beloved community on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, 2025. Since we are not total purists regarding the church calendar, today is also Christmas Sunday. So, Merry Christmas, Mayflower. Oh, that's what I wanted to hear. They're getting a little noisier now. There you are, yeah. A little more noise out here, Rachel. Okay. So I am Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. As always, I am joined by our worship team, our production engineer, and special musicians, some of whom you can see right here, who are members of both the chancel and bell choirs of our church. Our liturgists today are Roger Kennedy and Pastor Rachel Garris. Now, we'd like all of you, if you can, on this Christmas Sunday, to join us in the Friendship Center immediately following worship for our usual coffee hour with snacks and beverages. However, a very special time of singing Christmas carols together, led by our music team, will take place after a brief time of fellowship. Wendy Cushion comes now with a very special announcement. She is our licensed kitchen coordinator here at Mayflower.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
I am here for two reasons. One, end of the year, I would like to thank and recognize all the people that have helped prepare the spaghetti dinner. And now it's a twofold thing. The Sunday before, we boil spaghetti, and those of you who've done that know how refreshing that is. It's kind of a sauna. And on the Tuesday then, prepare the meal. So for those of you who have been my helpers in the last year, I'd like to have you raise your hands. Okay. And Justin in the back. More people back there. Okay. And just to give you a very sincere thank you, it is always something that I've enjoyed for many years. And you kind of want to go full circle. And the second reason that I would like to just share with you is I went to the open house at the Rescue Mission, and I understand there were others who went. I went kind of early. Wasn't sure what to expect. It is a beautiful building. It's absolutely gorgeous. And we were welcomed, and I introduced myself and where I was from, and the lady that I spoke to said, oh, you are the spaghetti lady. So apparently, that's my new name. And she said, I can't tell you how much all of our residents love that meal. And you know, people tell you that, but when you go there and you see their environment, and I can't tell you how many people said, oh, they love that the best. So if you ever get a chance to go see the new Rescue Mission, it is, it just warms your heart. And they take care of people who come there so well and eat our spaghetti. So Merry Christmas and thank you.
Thank you, Wendy, for being such an integral part of our ministry, one of many to our community, and especially to those who so desperately need our help. If you are a visitor, please take the time to peruse the bulletin where you will find our worship protocol and our mission statement. We certainly and sincerely hope you enjoy our service today. More importantly, we hope you will find this place and its people a safe place emotionally and spiritually, and a haven of unconditional welcome, non-judgment, and a loving embrace in the Spirit of Christ. So welcome to all. There are other important announcements and events in the bulletin, activities and ways you can participate in the service and outreach to our community. Please check the bulletin and then ask questions if necessary. We do not pass offering plates during worship as we consider your presence a gift to us and, of course, a gift to God. If you have come prepared with a financial offering today, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. And if you have a desire to participate in the leadership of our church by serving on one of our committees or volunteering as a greeter or some of the other volunteer opportunities here, please let our vice moderator, Betty Briggs, or our moderator, Tom Hacker, know. Our annual meeting takes place on January 25th. Our nominating committee is working hard to make sure we have people that are anxious and willing to serve, and sometimes it takes a little time to think about that. So do that between now and the next couple of weeks. Let us know if you think that God is leading you to do something here at Mayflower. The most important announcement looking forward is our upcoming event, which happens this Wednesday. Is something special happening Wednesday? Is that a special day? Oh, yes, it's Christmas Eve. Historically, until last year, our service was at 7 o'clock. We have moved it to 5 o'clock, and the intention is this. Many people like to spend time on Christmas Eve with their families, and 5 o'clock makes it a little easier to go and join in, so we will have the service at 5 o'clock. Join us for one of the most special and meaningful gatherings of the beloved community as we share anthems, carols, lessons, and a brief homily, and near the conclusion of the service, we will light candles, electronic candles, that is, that have flickers in them, and we will sing Silent Night, always a special time on Christmas Eve. Think about a rose. The whole service today has something to do with a rose. Our worship theme has to do with my sermon title, and that's Rose-Colored Lens. When God chose to offer the free gift of God's matchless love for the world, at that first Christmas, it was done with the rose-colored lens of unconditional love, overlooking all that was wrong in the world, giving us the gift of grace and salvation. Now, let us worship God.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, traditionally known as Christmas Sunday, as Pastor Mark said. So we will mix both in a little of service. Later, you will have a chance to sing some carols, eat some snacks, including some special Christmas cookies, a lot of them, and enjoy good fellowship, like always. In keeping with the all-important season of preparation, today's lectionary text takes us to Matthew's version of Christmas, where the focus is on Joseph. He doesn't say much, but has a big dilemma on his hands. Any choice he makes will result in a scandal. What does he do? He begins with a proverbial set of rose-colored glasses, protecting his bride-to-be from public shame. His decision results in the greatest love story of all time. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we gather joyfully for worship on this last Sunday before Christmas. In all of the decorating, shopping, wrapping, baking, eating, singing, and partying, help us to set aside these few moments today, forgetting our earthly concerns and concentrating on final spiritual preparations. We thank you for the example of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. He believed the unbelievable to think the best about his beloved Mary. He trusted an unbelievable message from the God in a dream, all because of his rose-colored lens of compassion, mercy, and love. Help us to put on those same glasses as God had on when he gave us Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Today, we light the candles, we relight the first three candles of Advent, the candles of hope, peace, and joy. Now we light the candle for the fourth Sunday in Advent. This is the candle of love. Excuse me. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love in his ministry as the Good Shepherd. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loved us by giving us his most precious gift. As God is love, let us be love also. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words, For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 19. From the Gospel of John we hear, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's from John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you. While the world lies frozen beneath the chilling breath of winter, a spotless rose blooms. Against the harsh surroundings, its beauty unfolds, one petal at a time. The winter rose is born so that the garden might be restored.
As I look back, in fact, as we all look back on God's blessings here in the Beloved Community for 2025, they have been realized and personalized by the generous, sacrificial, and faithful giving by all of you. So in a humble spirit of thankfulness to God and to the Beloved Community, I lead us now in the sacred moment of worship where we offer our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves to God. Thanks be to God.
Praise God for all blessings flow. Praise Him, all we Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we pause right now to thank you for the unspeakable gift of the Christ child, born not into comfort or certainty, but into a real world of danger and hope, poverty and promise, fear and faith. In Jesus, you chose not distance, but nearness, not power, but vulnerability, not escape from the world, but love within it. And so now, O God, even as we rejoice, we remember. Remember those for whom this day is heavy, those who grieve, those who are lonely, those without shelter, safety, or enough to eat, those living amid war, violence, displacement, and despair. We remember all who cannot celebrate today because survival itself demands their strength. So remind us why we pray, why we give, and why we serve, that we are here not to escape the world, but to bear witness to your love within it. Let the joy we proclaim today become compassion tomorrow. Let the peace we sing about today become justice we practice. And let the love made flesh in Bethlehem take flesh again in our words, our choices, and our lives. In the same spirit of our prayer for the world, we pray for those in our world who weigh upon our hearts this morning. Administer your grace and love as we pray for healing and restoration, strength and peace for those whose first names we mention now. Lord, send us from this place, grateful for all we have received and faithful for all we are called to do, that our worship may continue as service, sacrifice, and hope in the days ahead. We pray this in the name of the one who came to dwell among us, Emmanuel, God with us, and the one who taught us to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. In today's narrative, we get a glimpse of who Joseph was. He doesn't say anything, but he does a lot. In fact, his quiet yet decisive actions changed the world. Hear now these words. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, in our consideration today of one of the forgotten characters in the Christmas story, may we be reminded as we think about Joseph that even in our faith, actions speak so much louder than our words. May it be so. Amen. Has anyone ever been prescribed rose-colored lenses from your optometrist? No. There are times when putting on rose-colored glasses can actually be helpful. In fact, in a very literal, physical sense, they're often prescribed for good reasons. Optometrists use rose-colored or pink-tinted lenses to help manage neurological and visual conditions related to light sensitivity and contrast. A specific rose tint can filter out painful blue and green wavelengths, and from fluorescent lighting and digital screens. Athletes like mountain bikers and skiers use them to see terrain more clearly and avoid danger. Drivers use them in low light, foggy, or snowy conditions. They're used in learning and sensory support for people with dyslexia, autism, or sensory processing disorders. And for migraine sufferers, they can be life-changing. 85 to 90% of patients that use these glasses report relief from migraine-related light sensitivity when using a specific type of rose-oriented lens. That's my science lesson for today. Physically speaking, rose-colored glasses are always used to correct and enhance vision. But psychologically, things get a little more complicated. When it comes to life, circumstances, and especially relationships, rose-colored glasses can produce mixed results. Think about the honeymoon phase of a romantic relationship. Those intense emotions and brain chemicals can create a positive bias early on. Has anyone ever experienced this? Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. We see our partner is perfect and we overlook flaws for a little while. The problem is that this can lead to unrealistic expectations and deep disappointments when our partner inevitably fails to live up to the idealized version we've created. It can actually prevent growth in a relationship because it becomes hard, sometimes impossible, to form a genuine connection. If you aren't seeing the real person, flaws and all, true intimacy is hindered. In its worst form, rose-colored glasses can keep someone stuck in a toxic relationship, blind to harmful behavior. This is what we mean when we say, love is blind. In those cases, the glasses really do need to come off. But there's another side to this. There are times when putting on rose-colored glasses is not only helpful, but essential. Seeing your partner or anyone you love as wonderful and your relationship as worth fighting for can strengthen security, trust, and commitment. Positive illusions can help people survive inevitable conflicts by reminding them why the relationship matters in the first place. And for any married couples here this morning, that is great advice. I shall be reminded to put that advice into play for me. believing things can work out. Believing your partner is fundamentally good helps people persist through difficult seasons. Strong, rewarding relationships improve self-esteem and overall happiness. Sometimes rose-colored glasses don't distort reality, they help us endure it. Joseph puts on rose-colored glasses in the midst of a scandalous pregnancy. Matthew gives us Joseph's perspective on the Christmas story, while Luke gives us Mary's. And there are some significant differences. Joseph never speaks in this text or anywhere in the Bible, but he plays a massive role. In the first century world of Joseph and Mary, engagement wasn't romantic or casual. To be betrothed was essentially to be married, legally binding, just without living together or consummating the marriage. So, when Joseph learns that Mary is pregnant, there is only one conclusion he can draw, and you can probably tell each other what that is. She has been unfaithful. He would have felt the same pain, betrayal, anguish, and confusion any of us would have or have felt in a moment like that. In Joseph's world, there were only two realistic options. He could publicly expose Mary, which likely would have led to her being stoned to death. Read the law in Deuteronomy. It's a little chilling. Or he could divorce her quietly, as the text tells us that that's what he intended to do. With rose-colored glasses on, he chose the latter. And sometimes rose-colored glasses open space for God to do astonishing things, whether through angelic visitations or simply through the possibility that something good might come from something that is devastating in the moment. Now, let's be honest. However we understand angelic visitations and virgin births, which do a lot of theological heavy lifting in this story, they aren't part, usually, of our everyday experience. And yet, God still works in scandal, confusion, and uncertainty. Joseph puts on rose-colored glasses again when the angel speaks. And it's worth noticing that this whole story reeks of scandal. Even Matthew's genealogy sets the tone. Jesus' family line includes Tamar, involved in incest, Rahab, a sex worker, Ruth, an immigrant outsider, and Bathsheba, a victim of sexual violence. That is where we need to take off our rose-colored glasses. The Christmas story isn't neat or sanitized. It intentionally unfolds in chaos and produces scandal. And maybe, just maybe, this is exactly how God works. So, let me tell you about a scandal in my own life where God showed up in an unexpected way. At the end of the summer touring season in 2006, I left a managerial position at a tour company in Seattle, the one many of you are familiar with, planning to return as a tour guide the next summer, releasing myself from the managerial responsibilities, which in those days, in my, I guess you could call it my midlife crisis, I wanted to get rid of. During the winter of 2006 and 2007, I drove across the country and worked at the Sugar Bush Ski Resort in Vermont as a shuttle driver. Long hours, lots of people, and I even worked the entire Valentine's Day of 2007 during a record-breaking snowstorm that dropped 42 inches of snow in less than 24 hours. It took our crew half of a day to dig our buses out the next day. I'll never forget that. But when the season ended, I planned a 5,500-mile road trip in my Jeep through the southern states down to Big Bend National Park, if anybody has ever been there, where I wrote a poem to a girl I was dating, and it was entitled, "To D or Not to D." I'll read that to you sometime when we can find it. That's right, it was "To D or Not to D." Things weren't totally set, so that was my...
my poem I wrote, and I actually read it to Deanne over the phone when she was about 2,000 miles away. That's another story. But on my way back to Seattle in late March of 2007, my first stop was Baltimore, where my youngest son, Kyle, was attending culinary school. He told me to meet him at a restaurant. He always picked good restaurants because he knew Dad would pay. He still does. He said he wanted to introduce me to his new girlfriend. Fine, I said, I'll look forward to that. I arrived a little early. Soon Kyle walked in with his girlfriend and he said, Dad, this is Tiffany. I met her in culinary school. She loves to bake. Hi, Tiffany. Nice to meet you. Hi, she said, very stoically. The next 5 minutes were tense. She didn't respond much to my typical questions, not intrusive, but just trying to get to know her. And I saw Kyle, uncomfortable, fidgeting in his seat. Then he took a deep breath and he said, Dad, we have something to tell you. And I said, what's that? I thought that I hadn't been in on their courtship and they were announcing the marriage. He said, you're going to be a grandpa. 5 minutes after I met his girlfriend. That was a moment that will remain with me the rest of my life, and I had about 1 second to respond. How would you have responded? Well, I reached immediately for my rose-colored glasses, and I said, with a smile on my face, congratulations. That was a moment that bonded me to the mother of my grandchild forever, even to this day when she's married to another man. From that moment on, my relationship with the mother of my grandchild improved every year. Tiffany is no longer, as I just mentioned, a romantic partner with my son. They were never married. She's married to someone else now, as my son married someone else last year. Life took unexpected turns, but that moment mattered then, and it matters still. Now, I don't want to minimize the beauty of this day. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, that's why you see the color purple. But it's also Christmas Sunday, and that's why you see all the beautiful poinsettias up here that you have so lovingly given in memory and honor of folks. So, don't want to take anything away from that. But let's go on. It's also Christmas Sunday, as I mentioned. Many of us are dressed up. I wore a pink shirt today. I don't have a red one, so I wore a pink one. And I wore a tie, I think, Bob Z, did you remember giving this tie to me? Yes, he gave it. It's that Christmas thing, and when we get to the fellowship or the Friendship Center, I'll put it on display. Well, the Christmas spirit is everywhere. We'll sing carols together a little later. There may be, in fact, there will be Christmas cookies baked here on Friday that are available for you not just to peruse, but to eat. I was here on Friday, and my role was a taste tester, and I'm just here to I'm here to tell you that they're pretty good. I thought my wife put on her rose-colored glasses when she didn't ask me how many cookies I ate when I came home. And we'll gather again in a joyful spirit for Christmas Eve, and we always look forward to that. Many of you can be here, some of you will be away, and some others will be here where their loved ones are away. And there is something magical about the story we read in the scriptures. But the mistake we make is sanitizing it and domesticating it. The months leading up to Christ's birth were not one joyful baby shower after another. God didn't choose a fairy tale princess. God didn't choose fame, power, or political success. God chose an unwed peasant girl and a man full of doubt and questions who wanted to do the right thing but needed angelic guidance to get there. And they were anxious. They were afraid. They were confused. And they were overwhelmed emotionally. And that's precisely what redemption looks like. There's more to my story. Next May, and I just got word, on the 29th, to be exact, I don't care what day it is, even if it's a Sunday, my granddaughter, Sage, Kyle and Tiffany's daughter, will graduate from high school with the highest honors. She has a full-ride scholarship offers from universities all over, including an interview at the College of William and Mary this last week with a nearly perfect GPA of 4.4 and a 4.5. She's already earned scholarships to continue her high school career at a very prestigious Catholic girls' high school with advanced placement math and science courses under her belt. Grandpa D, as she calls me, can't wait to be there. And you probably have heard that story, I must tell it. So she, a lot of people say, is like a chip off the old block and doesn't usually meet a stranger. And so when Deanne came along when she was a young child, she wanted to know from her mother what she should call Deanne. And her mother very wisely said, "Why don't you just call her Grandma D?" Well, that's fine. Well, the next person of the two of us that she saw was me, and she opened the door, and she greeted me, "Hi, Grandpa D." And I've been Grandpa D, proudly so, ever since. Matthew reaches back to the prophet Isaiah and gives us the name Emmanuel, God with us, not as a slogan, not as a phrase for the holiday, but as a promise. God is with us where we are, where I am, where you are, not as we should be, not even as we hope to be, not even what we promise to be, but God is with us right now, where we are, who we are, to accept us and in his love make us holy. May God be with us as we attend, pray, sing, listen, eat, fellowship, share, give, serve, sacrifice, and party. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
May the love that came down at Christmas, from which nothing can separate, go with you now and forever. Amen. Nope. There we go. All right. We've had some holy moments here in worship through year 2025, and we'll continue to have them 2026. We've had some holy moments today. We've listened to music. We've sung it. We've heard scripture. And we heard some words offered. Now, it's time to party. That's part of worship, too. As we fellowship, as we enjoy, as we laugh, as we care, as we support, as we ask questions, as we listen, and as we share with one another and break bread. So for those of you who can stay for the party, along with singing those Christmas carols, that'll be great. If you can't go, or if you can't stay, and you need to leave, let me say it. I'll say it again before Christmas to others, but to you, if you have to go, and I don't see you, Merry Christmas. Amen.